One, two, Freddy's coming for you. Three, four, better lock the door. Episode, podcast, punk news. Five, six, seven, better grab your crucifix. The rhyme doesn't work. I was going to quote Hellraiser again, but then it's episode 5, 6, 7, and so I couldn't let the Freddy rhyme go. And I'm not going to talk about Hellraiser again. Hellraiser 1 is great, people. Two bad episodes, two bad entries, 2 through 11 are so bad. Watch Hellraiser 1 and watch them, Freddy. This is Punky's Podcast, episode 5, 6, 7.
Is charged with party electricity. There's just one rule applies, but it's one you better keep. Dance or else. Dance or else. Remember marathons? You have to dance until you drop. On Freddy's special dance floor, the excitement never stops. I'll give you one suggestion. It's a secret you can keep. If you wanna stay alive, you'll think twice.
Freddy's always right. Scared, but you think you got the cure? Check out Freddy's manicure. Dance for else.
And this is 5-7, and we're back. It's gonna be a long episode. We got a lot to talk about. And a lot of small stuff, but we got a lot of people. It's just gonna be a long show, but that's cool, man. I've become less resistant to the long shows. I used to say, well, every show shouldn't be a jumbo, but now not every. I mean, we did a couple of hour bangers, you know, so we got room for some jumbos. And you know, sometimes you just gotta let the info flow on the jumbo show, you know. And we are here with. I was trying to rhyme something with O, and I could. Sammy G. Hello.
Hello rhymes with O.
You made it work. I'm not sure what is happening right now, but hi, I'm here.
Sammy B's back. Always great to have her on the show. And we're also here with Hallie Bullitt. Hallie Bullitt, what's going on in the land of HB?
I don't know about HB, but it's a big music week. Lots of cool stuff to talk about. So I'm excited to get into it.
And Emor, do you agree that it's a big music week? Or would you like to be contrarian and say no, in fact, it is a small music week?
I'm going to have to go with it's a big music week. So much came out. I was trying to think of like a way to, you know, be kind of an ass about it, but I couldn't. So.
I hope there are more opportunities for you to be an ass in this episode, because I would like so thoroughly enjoy that.
Well, we're going to be talking about Cro-Mags Hot Water Music. We're going to be talking about Bomb Pops, Billy Idol, Marissa Paternoster, Froggy, Scal. John Lydon, a whole bunch more. It's a big week, but I got a couple things to mention. First of all, I was thinking about my big spiel last week about vinyl pressing and how I basically blamed everyone except for me for the current vinyl pressing delays. And I stand by all of that, frankly. Although in retrospect, I realized I could have been interpreted being somewhat and rhymed, if you will, and that wasn't my intention. And I stand by everything I said, but I would say is there are some small labels that will suffer the pain of not being able to get things pressed, and they need that money. They can't get things pressed, and they weren't the parties that were shipping things to the Czech Republic to get things pressed for a dollar cheaper, you know. And so I do feel – I mean, my stance last week was, you all asked for it. You all want a cheap record in the Czech Republic. This is what you get. Now suck on it, you know. Not everyone did that. A lot of people did that, but not everyone did that. So I do have some sympathy for the small labels that are now suffering that pain. And my advice, because everyone wants to know what John's advice is, because John has the entire world figured out and knows everything about everything, is take it as a lesson. I mean, people kind of – I really hope people learn the lesson with COVID and Amazon. I mean, Amazon is the worst, people. They monopolize the supply chain. Because it's cheaper. I'm like, oh, well, it's so much cheaper and it's so convenient. Yeah, the first time is always free. Once they monopolize the supply chain and run everybody else out of business, then they jack up the prices and stranglehold certain things and make things crappier, which is exactly what happened during COVID. So I hope people realize not to put all their eggs in one basket, even if it's slightly more convenient and even if it's slightly cheaper, because it isn't in the long run. Same thing with pressing plants. Support the local pressing plants. Don't go to the Czech Republic just because it's a little cheaper, especially because their records actually sound like MP3s and not like records. So my point is, I have sympathy for the small labels and the small bands that didn't incur this, but let's all work together and not make the same mistake again, because if history shows anything, humanity always learns from its mistakes and never makes the same mistake twice. So let's keep that in mind. Second thing, Christmas is really right around the corner, people. And every year we do a Christmas episode for the past 7 or 8 years now, and I love doing them. I don't know if people like listening to them, and I don't really care because I love doing them. But if this crew enjoys doing them, then we should do one again. So the question is, do you guys enjoy doing them? And should we do a scripted thing again? Should we do a Christmas pageant? Should we have live bands come play? Should we just
wait
do a hangout?
Wait a minute. What's a Christmas pageant? Tell me more.
We've done a couple of Christmas pageants. The first Christmas pageant was a huge disaster because the idea was we were doing kind of like a Bob Hope special where it was me, Adam, Ricky, and maybe even like Armando, like drinking cocoa by the fire. And Joel Tannenbaum was supposed to show up and like play music, but he was like really mad for some reason and he kept going off script and like refused to play music. And it was real bad. But then about 2 years later, we did the Better Christmas Pageant where I booked the Punk News Christmas Pageant at Madison Square Garden. And I booked the headliner as Frank Sinatra, but I forgot that Frank Sinatra had been dead for 20 years. So while the audience was getting ready to riot, we had Crazy in the Brains go out and play a song. We had Jade from Posers go out and play a song. And luckily enough, eventually, the ghost of Frank Sinatra showed up and saved our behinds and sang Silver Bells, I think. So the Christmas pageant could either be we have bands come on and play songs, or we could each sing a song, or we could do a scripted thing. I mean, I like the scripted ones the best, but I don't know. I mean, honestly, I'm going to pat myself in the back. I don't know how I can top last year. Last year's scripted mission was great. And also I'm concerned that the last two Christmas adventures were both extremely violent. 2 years ago, we ended up shooting Santa. And I remember there was one point where someone kicks in the door and like machine guns a bunch of ninjas. And it was George McCallie. And I was like, I don't think I would commit a mass shooting on your Christmas special. And I was like,
yeah. That.
And then so the next year, which I actually thought was pretty good, We had Jeff Bezos brutally killed by Frosty the Snowman.
That was awesome.
So I mean, what do you guys? Do you guys enjoy the Christmas episodes? Should we do a scripted one? What are you guys thinking?
I do. Am I like corniest in that I think that we should do like a punk Christmas song DJ show? Is that just like over the top corny? Because I have some good shit to play.
So you think we should each play? That's not a bad idea. You think we should each play songs, punk Christmas songs, kind of in a DJ section? That's not bad.
I'm kind of into that, but I'm, of course, open to other ideas.
I'm into a punk DJ something, just to switch it up and probably give you a year off to make, like, the most extreme scripts for next year. Like, you know, like, blow shit up if you want. That's cool. If not, then, you know, you can always do a script and I'll just, you know, revive every elf known to mankind. That's also
Sam
fine.
Barrett,
as well.
Grammy Award.
Do you always get typecast as an elf, Sam?
Yes, I'm usually an elf or a killer elf.
I will say Sam Barrett should have won the Grammy for Hermie the Elf.
Yes, Hermie. Hermie is my dude, man.
Emma, Nicole, what do you think? I mean, I'll give you more time to respond. There was one script that I threw away because the idea was is that John is forced to do a non-denominational holiday special due to protests, and I got about halfway through. I'm like, this is so angry. So, and more. What do you think?
I love the Christmas episodes. They're great. The punk DJ thing sounds really cool. I'll have to find some Christmas songs, and the scripted ones are always the best. So I'm good with whatever we do.
Yeah, I do like the punk DJ set. I mean, it's since like you wouldn't think the scripted ones are that much work, but like the sound, I love doing the sounds, but you don't even realize how much work. Like if someone opens a door, you got to get a sound effect of keys jingling, then a sound effect of keys going through a lock, then a door opening, you know, then footsteps. You got to get like four sound effects just to open a door, you know. But when it's done, it is rewarding, but it's a lot of work. So I don't know. We'll see. But we got to get to work. I mean, it's almost Thanksgiving, and I mean, so we'll see. I don't know. Listeners, let us know if you have a preference. We could do both too, I guess. I don't know, man. We'll see. But it's good to mix things up too. I don't know. I really don't know. We'll see. I'm just going to read one email real quick because we got a very nice email from Reinhardt, who's written in before. You can always reach us at podcast@punknews.org. And I am pulling up the email right now. I should have had it ready to go. But listen, man, it's been a long day. I just did an interview. I was talking to clients before that. And I'm having a record sale in a couple of weeks. So I was pulling out, making some signs. This is from Reinhardt. I just finished John's book, and let me tell you, it's certainly one of the best musical biography books I've read so far, and I've read plenty of those. It took until last week to get shipped because I was trying to dodge outrageous shipping costs to Europe. So thank you, Reinhardt. I appreciate that. Oh, I knew my fair share about Left It With Cracks history beforehand, but certainly wasn't fully aware of the highly chaotic circumstance under which both the Choking Victim LP and the first Leftover Crack album were recorded, which makes it even more incredible that both of them are near perfect albums. As a side note, the book does a pretty good job of describing the chaos, but it is insane how those two albums are so cohesive, and they were put together in such a piecemeal fashion. It's crazy. I only managed to catch them live a couple of years ago, in a tiny club in Dresden, and in true Leftover Crack fashion, it was total chaos at first. SZA kept stopping mid-song and running off stage because he was unhappy with the sound guy. After a while, he cooled down and asked the audience what they wanted to hear. There were maybe 30 people there, and apparently I was the only one who knew the songs. So the guys basically played all my favorite songs for the second half of the concert. Afterwards, I talked to Brad for a while. What a cool and sincere guy. Anyways, I wanted to congratulate John on the book. It certainly deserves all the praise that it has been getting. Reinhardt, thank you for writing, and thank you for getting the book. I really, really do. I hope it doesn't sound funny. I really appreciate everyone getting the book and checking it out. It's been a real thrill. I'm going to do like a little spiel on my Instagram about it, but Reinhardt and everyone else that bought one or read one, thank you for checking it out. Reinhardt continues, I also think the podcast is better than ever right now. Thanks especially to M for some fantastic recommendations of bands I wouldn't have come across otherwise, like No Bro or Bad Waitresses. Don't be deterred by a few misogynistic idiots commenting on the site. Most of us appreciate your amazing recommendations, I'm sure. Keep up the good work, everyone, from Reinhardt.
Thanks.
And thank you for writing, Reinhardt. And you can always reach that podcast at punknews.org. Let's play a song. Let's see. I guess we're going to play Scout. I mean, we're going to talk about Scout much later. Well, actually, no. I mean, let's play Hot Water Music. We're going to talk about Hot Water Music. So this is Hot Water Music doing their brand new song. And we'll be right back.
Yeah. heart, blood, and bone. Round my patience, breathe out all I own. I'm anxious, killing time. I break my silence. There's nothing left to hold. Down in water, skin with blood and bone. Round my patience, breathe out all I own. I'm anxious, killing time. Break my silence. There's nothing left to hold. Down.
And we're back, and we want to talk about hot water and music, but first we want to talk about one of John's favorite topics, Cro-Mags, and one of society's favorite Cro-Mags topics, war within the Cro-Mags, yet again. I will do the very, 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 very quick summary, which I always do, which I don't even know if I need to do anymore, but the three main, I guess the three main Cro-Mags from the classic era, Harley Flanagan, John Joseph, Paris Mayhew, all three hate each other. I mean, usually it's like two teams, but here it's three teams, they all hate each other, right? And so Paris... So anyway, for years and years and years, there was conflict between Harley and John Joseph, who owned the name Cro-Mags, and even sometimes Paris would jump in and say he would own it, you know, it was the whole thing. It got settled about 2 years ago now. Harley owns the Cro-Mags. The band Cro-Mags is Harley. There's also a band called Cro-Mags JM, which is John Joseph, and Paris Mayhew has a group called, or not a group, a project called Agros, which is just Cro-Mags inverted. So there's Cro-Mags, Cro-Mags JM, and Agros. Anyways, Paris released the second single by Agros, and it's called City Kids. And it is a 9.5-minute instrumental track. The video's got a lot of skateboarding on it, and it's got Paris thrashing along. After Paris posted that, Harley said, well, he's just ripping off a song from the lesser-known Revenge album from 2000. The song he's ripping off is Pull Me, Push Me, and that was an outtake from Revenge, which wasn't on Revenge, and Harley actually slightly misspoke. He said it was never released, but that's not true. It actually was released on the rare Cro-Mags compilation, Age of Quarrel and no, 20 Years of Quarrel and Greatest Hits or something like that. There's kind of this weird compilation of that actually has those two rare tracks on it. So technically they were released, which honestly bolsters Harley's argument. So basically Paris has got another instrumental track. This one's 9 minutes as opposed to the 6-minute one. And Harley's saying he's just biting off a track from 2000, which is a relatively obscure track. I've got thoughts. I don't know if you guys want me to kick it off or you guys want to kick it off.
Kick it off, man.
Well, listen, I mean Paris, there's been the John Joseph's stance has been me and Harley wrote the music. I did most of the lyrics, not all of them. Harley did most of the music. Harley's argument is John Joseph didn't do any of the lyrics. I did all the lyrics, most of the music, and Paris did some of the music too. Paris's argument is I did most of the music. Harley did a little bit of the music and some of the lyrics. So who knows who to believe? I will say that looking at all three people's post Cro-Mags output, Harley's output has been fantastic. So that suggests that Harley's basically on the mark. However, Paris's Agro's tracks, both of them, the actual sound is actually really, really good. So I think it's probably a little bit halfway between Harley and Paris. I think they both probably contributed to the Cro-Mags sound, which is one of the most revolutionary sounds in punk. And I will say Agro's City Kids sounds, the sound is great. It sounds great for about 30 seconds. I don't need 9.5 minutes of the same riffing over and over and over. I'm like, you're almost kind of hurting yourself. Like, it sounds good, but there's no song there. There's no composition. You are really just replicating the sound. It's almost like these, like, guys like well, I don't want to say Jeff Beck, but like Eric Clapton. Everyone's like, oh, Eric Clapton, you know, or the guy from Dire Straits, Knopfler. They're like, his playing is so good, his tone is so good. Yeah, but the song sucks. You know, like, who cares? You know, and so I really don't need a 9-minute instrumental that sounds like a Cro-Mags track. It could use a lot of editing and could use a lot of weeding out. That being said, I mean I've said it before and I'll say it again. I'm definitely Team Harley. Harley's post Cro-Mags output has been fantastic. Harley's been putting on amazing shows. And basically, Harley's doing some of the best stuff he's ever done. I don't think he needs to sully himself by – I mean, the war is over. He won the Cro-Mags name. So there's no need to reignite that war. It's over. He won. Not only did he legally win the war, his the Harley led solo, the Harley led Cro-Mags albums, In the Beginning and 2020, and also his solo album called Cro-Mag and the Dr. No EP, all fantastic. I mean, he doesn't even need to say anything. The music speaks for itself. It's clear where a lot of the talent of that band came from, or at least is now. So he's won the battle. There's no need to go back and try to pull somebody back up that's already lying down on the road, beaten, essentially. It's like, and I don't even mean from an ungainly standpoint. I mean the strategy standpoint. The more that you point out, the more that you throw kindling back on the fire, the more problems it's going to cause you. Everyone knows that you won because you were extremely talented. And I don't say this to insult Harley or to say, you know, Harley should. I'm saying as a Harley fan, I don't feel like Harley needs to be relitigating these old things in the public court because he's already won. So it's not worth your time. You've already proved yourself multiple times over with four killer albums. Don't waste your time on it. Just let him do his own thing. And I think it will fade away. I mean, kind of like the Flag, Black Flag thing, you know. Greg Ginn's attack on Flag in some respects made Flag even bigger than it was, because before there was something like, it's like, well, it's not really Black Flag without Greg Ginn, but Greg Ginn, you know, played his hand so poorly, everyone rallied behind Flag, like, you can do it, Flag, you know. So Harley doesn't need to give his opposition any firepower because he's won, and there's no, even if this is a ripoff of an old song from 2000, the song from 2000 isn't even really that good, so who cares? Just let it fade away. That's my perspective.
Yeah, I wish. I mean, I love that you have such strong opinions about this stuff. I just like, I don't, but I'm like, I'm totally fascinated to hear you talk about it. I just like don't have a lot to add. I didn't know. I think I missed the part where I was supposed to be listening to see if there were similarities between the old Cro-Mag song and this new aggro song. Did you hear similarities? Did you feel like it was in fact a recycling of those old ideas?
I don't know if recycling is fair. It's definitely based off that. And the aggro song isn't bad, but it's not great. And it's 9 minutes. So who cares? I mean, it's like, it is kind of weird to recycle. I mean, like the reason Pull Me, Push Me wasn't on the album to begin with because it's not that great. So who cares? I mean, if that's the best idea you got is to pick up old junk that you didn't want 20 years ago, that's not a great
Make it 9 minutes long. I got through like 5 minutes of it. I was like, okay, great, enough. That's great. Let's wrap it up. Why are we still here?
Harley has been very wise. That a lot of the new stuff is like a minute and a half, 2 minutes. Bam, bam, bam. Yeah. That's all you got to do. I think what Paris might be doing is he's kind of showing that he's a true musician, and maybe musicians might enjoy the, like, oh, he's really good, you know, shifting chords and look at him bend the whammy bar. But like a listener doesn't care about that. You know what I mean? It's like you might be the world's best juggler, but I only want to watch you juggle for a minute and a half, you know? So.
Well, like I watched this and I really liked it. And I'm not, you know, a person that listens to Cro-Mags like ever. I know, John, you're probably like shunning me right now.
I respect Sam as a music fan and as a music connoisseur. Just because we don't have the same favorite bands doesn't mean why can't we be friends? You know?
And we are. But it is a little long, but this is how I kind of like went about it, because I felt like this entire 9 minutes was almost like a story. Like you needed the video, I think, to like understand it, because essentially the song is called City Kids, right? And they went through different aspects of New York City, which I really appreciate because I'm from here. I'm actually from here, not like, you know, transplant from here. so like, you know, there was like, you know, a lot of different types of people in the video, and like, you know, skateboarders. And I really like the fact that they were under the bridge at the skate park, like, you know, like things like that. So I kind of like took it as that. So maybe it's more of an artsy thing than, but I also think that like maybe they're appealing to like maybe a metal crowd that like really likes riffs all day, you know, mm-hmm. because like, you know, hey, sometimes
people do exist.
they do exist, and sometimes, you know, if you want a new crowd of people to please, you go in that direction, because maybe the hardcore punks, like, don't care, or because it's 9 minutes long, I don't know.
You get weirded out when he green screens himself into three people at once. And I'm like, what's going on? You know?
Yeah, it's a little weird, but, you know, whatever. It is what it is. I kind of, like, didn't, like, really read into that much because, you know, I think, during the pandemic, a lot of people were making music videos and they were trying to get creative and try to do it safely. Like, you know, there was a couple of videos I think I saw that they, like, the members were not even in the same room, you know? So maybe that's just him doing him and being artsy fartsy.
You think I'm being too hard on Paris?
Maybe. Maybe because you're on the Harley train. I there's just too much man drama there. That I don't want to deal with. I'm not taking a side, but, you know.
And more, did you enjoy when Paris would, like, stare off, like, into the distance, like I don't know if it was longingly or with rage, one of the two.
With a longing rage. I didn't think it was going to be 9 minutes. So that was a surprise. It did turn about halfway, and it did, like, it had a deeper tone and sounded more metally and stuff. Like, technically, he can play really well. I really liked the video, too, because it's like you're watching all the skateboarders and people with bikes, and they have the close-up of the glow-in-the-dark, not glow-in-the-dark, light-up wheels. That was really cool on the skateboards. So there's parts too where, like, it focuses on his feet and on his shoes, and his shoes are really, really shiny. And I thought, oh, is he selling
shoes
now?
They're the shiniest shoes I've ever seen. They're so shiny.
They were insane. Like, I have no idea how he, like, kept them in such good shape. So I was, like, trying to figure out why do they keep showing his shoes? And then I just kind of, like, oh, is it a skateboarding thing? Is he trying to skateboard on nothing? But that's not what it is. I don't really know. But the other thing that I thought was interesting was the banners and, like, posters that have aggros and the skateboards on them. They're NFTs. The whole thing is basically an ad for his NFTs. Ugh. So you can buy those, and the money goes to...
We can't escape. We can't escape the NFTs.
And the money goes to Tony Hawk's skate park project. So, like, you know, that's nice, but it was way too long. It could have definitely been shorter. And is the plural of Paris Paris's or Pari?
The funny part is, you know what his name actually is?
No,
his name is actually give me a second here. He hit it. Crap.
No.
He hit it. It's in Harley's book. His name is actually like Joshua or something like that. Like.
Oh.
Or Mitchell. Maybe it's Mitchell. But like Paris isn't his real name. It's like Mitchell Joshua. It's like just like a normal name. So, and it used to be. I don't want to beat on Paris too much because it might end up bad for me. So listen, people. If you like it, you like it. I really should not be inserting myself into this conflict. Here's a conflict which I feel much safer in inserting myself into. Hot Water Music. They got a new album coming out. The new album is called Feel the Void, and the lead single is Killing Time, and it's out March 18th via Equal Vision Records. And the video was produced by Brian McTiernan, and the punk news crowd generally seemed to think the song was pretty good. And Sam Barrett, did you think the song was pretty good, or what did you think?
Yes! Oh my god! This is like, literally, I was like so excited when I found this thing was coming out, because I guess I'm just starved for you know, Chuck's growling, like, gruffiness. I don't know. Anyways, yeah, I'm not having orgasm here. It's just, yeah, I'm really excited. So this song, Killing Time, I love the fact that, one, Woolard is still in it, because, you know, he left for a little bit, and then now he's back in some way. And Cresswell from Flatliners is still in it. So I'm really, really glad that they were able to, like, get, I guess, become, like, a five-piece now, and, you know, collaborate and make this. This song really reminded me of, like, some songs off of Caution, which, like, I love No Division and I love Caution so much. So, yes! Yes! I'm sorry. I'm really excited. Oh, yeah. And the record, like, they have a silkscreen version of the record, like, the cover of it, and it's so freaking beautiful. Like, I was just, like, I looked at it, and I was like, okay, I guess I'm buying that now. And I also, like, I think NHITS is putting out the Europe one. They're actually tiering their release of the records, which is weird. I guess that's because of the pressing plant issue. Maybe. I don't know. But, yeah. I'll be seeing them this weekend.
That's awesome. Where are you seeing them?
Woodstock, New York.
Oh, that's so funny. I'm going to Woodstock this weekend also.
Oh, yeah? Maybe we could find each other.
Oh, that would be fun. Wait, I'm really just there, like, Friday night, Saturday morning. When are you there?
I'm hiking on Saturday, and I'm going to see them on Saturday night.
So fun. Where are they playing?
The Colony.
Oh, okay. So the Colony, I think, is where my husband has a show the night before. So I'll be there the night before. I am so jealous of you that you're this excited about this song, because I was a huge Hot Water Music fan back in the day, and I would love, honestly, nothing more than to be blown away by something that they do. I'm so glad they still make music. It's like, really, there was a time in my life where they were just, like, my favorite band. I listened to it. I just wasn't blown away by it. I really am legit so jealous of hearing you be so excited about this. Like, I would rather feel that way about it than the way that I currently feel, which is just like, I liked it. It was okay. I, like, don't need to hear it again. but I think they're just such a good band. And like I said, I would still see that. I've seen them live 1,000 times, and I would see them again anytime. John M, were you into this song?
Yes, Em, were you into the song?
This was the first time I've heard the band. I've heard of them. I've never listened to them. So I was really surprised at the singer's voice, like the the gravel to it and stuff. Like, that is just great. Like, awesome. Love that. So I thought the song was good. Again, I don't really have a basis for it. I do want to check them out and kind of see how they sound. So, like, where's a good starting
place? Caution.
Caution.
Right? Yeah. I'll check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, this band essentially is, like, the premise of how we used to have the term orgcore.
Right.
Orgcore, Hot Water Music, festy-ish things, you know, kind of synonymous.
Okay, sure.
Well, there you have it. Hot Water Music getting another fan live on the Punk News Podcast. Here's a band that got some fans and some not fans. Drum Church. They announced a new album. The new album is called Hygiene, and the initial single is called Million Miles of Fun. And they're going on tour with Citizen later this fall. Hallie Bullitt, I believe you're a Drum Church fan.
I love this band. I just think their sound is really interesting. It's like a lot of things. It's like, it's not like super groundbreaking. It's not like they're doing things I've never heard before. It's that they're grabbing from like few different influences and like mashing them together in a way that I haven't heard, in a way that I really, really like. And I like this band. I thought this new song, I liked it. I was like, oh great, I like this just as much as the other stuff of theirs that I love. Were you guys into this?
Oh, I love Drug Church. I'm not a fan of Pat's other bands so much, but I am a fan of Drug Church. I don't know, like, it's, you know, because his lyrics are a little weird. there's a lot to say about that, but I think, like, you know, just the way that he works his lyrics with just the music, and yes, it's like the music is very layered in the way that there are different influences that being pulled into it. I really, really like, they put out two songs. So it's Million Miles of Fun and Detective Lieutenant. There's just like a riff in Million Miles of Fun. Like, I think this came out like what, Thursday or something like that. It's just been stuck in my head. And
it's so catchy.
It's so catchy. They're just like, I've seen them live as well. They're just freaking fun live. So yeah, if you're out to go see Citizen, stay for Drug Church or get there early for Drug Church.
Well, there you have it. Drug Church getting Em, what do you think of Drug Church?
Yes. I did like it. I liked I liked both songs, but I liked Million Miles of Fun better. And I do want to look more into the lyrics because I didn't have the lyrics up, so I was just kind of listening to it. So I'm sure there's stuff I missed or like misinterpreted. So I would like to sit down and actually like go through the lyrics because they sounded really interesting. I'm looking forward to the album, see what comes out, and the mix of stuff. John, what did you think of Drug Church?
Listen, not everyone can be the Cro-Mags, you know what I mean? I wish they could, but they can't. So, you know, the universe wasn't made for me, even though I wish it was. Listen, here's another thing that's shocking people. Polly Van Damme has left the Bomb Pops, and it kind of came not totally out of the blue because the Bomb Pops went on a tour and they issued a statement that there was going to be another person in place of Polly for that tour, and people weren't exactly sure why. And they kind of we talked about how Polly like gave some really personal things, and we were like, well, is that even necessary? Like why is society demanding that she gives that personal info instead of just not going on the tour? Well, she did an interview with John Jughead, and she again got pretty personal and kind of explained why she's leaving the band. She wants to raise a family. She's got some medical things, and she goes into depth on the podcast. So that's basically why she's leaving the band. A lot of people were surprised. Also, John Jughead's going to be on the Punk News podcast in a few weeks, so stay tuned for that. So that'll be fun. He's going to be hanging out with us. But anyways, so a lot of people, the Bomb Pops is a very popular band in the orgcore. Even I want to say they are an orgcore band, but they are popular in the orgcore world. And so a lot of people were shocked, saddened, and some people just didn't care. Sam Barrett, you care?
Oh, I do care. And, you know, like, it's, I guess, like, the series of events that happened, I guess, yes, this announcement did was very shocking and surprising, because when I think of the Bomb Pops, I think about Polly and Jen. You know, they've had a cast of revolving other people involved in the band. But, you know, now being that Polly is left for personal reasons, I completely understand, because, you know, she wants to do her thing. So pretty much we're left with Jen, which isn't a bad thing. I really loved the dynamic between the two singers for all of the records that they put out. So it's going to be interesting to see what comes out of them soon. I do wish her the best.
I find it interesting when someone like that, like an original member who's sort of like that, has been like that critical a part of a band. I find it interesting when the bands continue to play without them? Like, what do you guys think about that? Because to me, I'm not hugely into this band, but I just on the surface of it, I'm a little bit like, why would this band continue to play without her? Because it just seems like she's been an integral part of it. Like, you know, it just sort of seems like, okay, well, you guys started, what did she say? She said she started this band when she was like 14 and she's 30 now. It just sort of seems like, okay, well, you guys have done this for a long time and now maybe not all the members want to do it anymore. And like, maybe you just don't need to be a band anymore. Is that like is that a weird take, or does that ring true to you guys? Like, why not just not do the Bomb Pops anymore?
No, go ahead, Sam.
Well, I think in like, so my husband like listened to the entire podcast, so he kind of gave me the, you know, the shortened version of it, mm-hmm. and you know, I think a part of it is possibly that, you know, she might want to do something else, like musically, like maybe it's possible that she wants to like not, maybe she was being suffocated doing the Bomb Pops. You know, like there's a lot of like pressure being assigned to Fat and, you know, needing to consistently tour and things like that. So like, you know, if she wants to have a personal life, like, you know, be a mom or, you know, have a bigger family, then, you know, those things are all going to affect, like, you know, being in a band of that caliber, you know. For the longest, the Bomb Pops was like, you know, they were kind of active, not like, you know, before they signed to Fat, they put out like what, a couple of EPs, a couple 7-inches, I think. So, you know, and it was a long, long time. So,
I'm asking, like, do you think it's cool that the rest of the band continue on without her is what I'm.
Well, I think if she's okay with it, then what am I to say, you know? Like, you know, like if she's okay, she's the one saying that she left, like the Bomb Pops has not made a statement on this that I know of yet. So I don't know what's behind all of that. Like, you know, why they haven't said something, but maybe they're just busy. I don't know.
Maybe they're talking about it. Maybe they're trying to figure out actually, you know, I guess I'm assuming they're going to continue to play without her. And maybe that's like a big assumption. Maybe they won't.
Yeah. We don't know yet. See. Like it hasn't been like an official statement yet. So we'll see.
Yeah.
You know, what's funny is, I recently wrote the book Architects of Self-Destruction, or Has Your Life Ever Cracked? And we would do things or, you know, put this in the time frame and people are like, oh, I bet they're doing this because X, Y, Z. And it's like, no, we're not doing that because of X, Y, Z. We're doing that because so-and-so is, you know, on a bender right now and we can't talk to him, or so-and-so is annoyed at this guy. It's like, there usually isn't some giant conspiracy where people think there is. That being said, sometimes there is a giant conspiracy. And so I think there probably is more to the story. And I guess more than ever before, bands are becoming more savvy with regard to breaking up, particularly in social media. But I'm not even answering Howie's question. To answer Howie's question, is it weird to continue when the band is two people and one of them is an integral member? I would say it's weird, but it's been done many, many times before. And rarely does a band thrive after that.
Yeah.
You know, so yes, you could plug along and try to keep the band going, but usually what happens, I'll be frank. Usually when a band has this moment in the sun, and then another member leaves, it's rare for the other member to have another moment in the sun with that band. And even if they start a new band, it's still kind of rare to have another moment in the sun. That being said, it can be done. Keith Morse did it twice. You know, You know, it can be done, but it's tough. I think rarely, if ever, does it pay off to, you know, keep the train truck like with a band like Bomb Pop, which I'm not a hater, I'm not a fan. If people enjoy them, that's fine with me. Not my thing, but I'm cool with them, if that makes any sense. But I would think is they've been around a while. It's unlikely for them to have the huge explosion in fame or popularity or reach now. So it might be a good time to, you know, break apart, and then maybe you'll come back together again later and, you know, get the reunion pop in, or do something new. It's like, you know, now this is just – I'll give you an example. I'm kind of rambling. When Vivian Girls broke up, Katie Goodman kind of took a moment and kind of like re-solidified and came back as Katie Goodman, and people dug it, and it was real good, you know. So I would say that's probably the better point than just continuing on as one half of the original band, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
But that being – well, yeah, I'm not going to drag this out. So anyways, yeah, so yeah, I think it is weird to continue, especially if one of the two main people is gone. And I think – but on the other hand, yeah, you have to ask – I mean, it's easy for us from the outside to say, well, they should end the band. But on the other hand, it's like, well, I've been in this band for 7 years, and the other main person said they were going to leave, but I'm not ready to be done yet. What should I do? You know, so it's easy for us to say, well, you should end the band, whereas if you're actually in the scenario, it's like – your whole world's been kind of turned upside down to a degree, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And plus, I mean, and Hallie can definitely speak to this more than I can, but I can speak this to a fair degree, is there's in a band or in any kind of partnership, there's a lot of mixed emotions. And it's people say, oh, well, A hates B and B hates A. Well, that's not always – sometimes B and A like each other, but there's underlying annoyances, or A and B do hate each other, but they still want to work together. Band emotions and relationships are extremely complex. Hallie Bullitt, agree or disagree?
Oh, God, yes. Sadly yeah. And exhaustedly, I agree.
So I mean, and if you read Architects of Self-Destruction, the words you let over crack out now in Rare Bird Lit, you can see how two people will be best friends and they're constantly backstabbing each other, and they're aware that they're backstabbing each other, but they're still best friends. So band relationships can be weird. Let's play a song. You guys want to play a Drug Church song or a Bomb Pop song, or what should we play?
Play a Drug Church song.
Hell this yeah. is Drug Church.
Yeah.
Don't do drugs, kids. Church, that's up to you, but I still say don't do drugs. Here's a guy that you should check out, Billy Idol. He's got a Christmas album coming out. Everybody hates it, and I love it. It's actually a re-release of a 2006 Christmas album called Happy Holidays. Great title, Billy. Well, maybe that's a good title for a Christmas album. At any rate, it's kind of rejiggered. It's got a slightly different track list. It's been remastered. It's part of these Dark Horse reissues that Dark Horse has been doing. George Harrison's label, with association with Jacob Dylan. They did Joe Strummer. They're doing Billy Idol. They're doing a couple other people too. I'm not exactly sure why that's the focus, but I'm not against it either, honestly, because they sound pretty good. Anyway, so Billy remastered the album and remixed it, and he did a new song called On Christmas Day, which it was actually out just this week, I think. Everyone hated this, and people at punk news generally hate Billy Idol. I don't understand why. Billy Idol is the man. He came out of the Sex Pistols. He was a roadie for the Sex Pistols. He was in Chelsea. Generation X rules. And Billy Idol's first three albums are great. And yeah, he's not as punk as Crass, but he's certainly as punk as Hot Water Music or something. Everyone hates Billy Idol. They really hate this Christmas album, and they're blaming this Christmas album for the reason that they can't get the Hot Water Music album until July. Billy, I'm saying. I mean, I'm just too much feel right now. I am excited for this. I really am. For some reason, the past 2 or 3 years, I've really gotten into Christmas albums. And like starting December 15 through the 25, I'll wake up, and when I'm getting ready in the morning, I'll play a Christmas album. I've got Yellow Man's Christmas album. It's great. I've got Jacob Miller Christmas album. And like he's got this one song, I Want a Collie Christmas. And he's singing how he wants weed from Santa for Christmas. And it's great. I've got Gwen Stefani's Christmas album, a little overwrought, frankly, but I still enjoy it because it's Gwen.
Billy's Christmas album.
He's not being that. I mean, he's doing Jingle Bell Rock, and he's not doing it overly seriously, and he's not doing a total cheesecake. He's kind of playing it straight down the middle. Billy's a great singer. I'm very pro this, man. I think it's fun. It's amusing, and I'm glad Billy's still doing this. Is this a cash grab? Christmas albums are almost always cash grabs, frankly.
Yeah.
But still, I'm glad he's doing it. And listen, you can only be so jaded. You know what I mean? There are worse ways to wake up in the morning and shaving. Listen to Billy Idol singing "Oh Christmas Tree." Let it snow. I'm excited for this. I'm not going to play it every day, but I'm certainly going to play it every Christmas. So I'm excited. I don't hate. Everyone hates it. I'm excited. I really want to hear this, frankly.
Oh my God, that's just the best image of you eating your Wheaties in the morning to Billy Idol doing, what was it? Rock Around the Christmas Tree. What did you, Jingle Bell Rock?
Snowman Sleigh Bell.
I'm not entirely on board with this. I'm kind of in the middle, because I'll say the him doing the Jingle Bell Rock, I was like, oh, this is so corny. It's so corny, and it's from 2006, and he's already had a ton of bad plastic surgery done. Weird. It's just the whole thing was really kind of creeped me out. And then I was like, you guys know I like Billy. I generally try to defend Billy. So I was like, well, before I throw him under the bus with this Christmas thing, I was like, let me listen to at least one other track from this album. And then the one I listened to is the original track that he added as it's the new original song for this re-release. Dudes, that is not a bad Christmas song. That is actually a pretty good Christmas song. It's called, what is it called? It's called On Christmas Day. I'm telling you, it's really not a bad Christmas song. As far as rock, it's got an 80s rock feel to it. It's really not bad. So then I was like, okay, I got a little respect for this project. Mostly corny, but he did add a decent listenable original for the reissue. So I don't, I'm not totally for nor totally against this.
So I love Christmas albums. I will buy Christmas albums, and Instant Christmas is on constant rotation at this house, and my husband's ears are bleeding because of it. usually around, December, because I'm not allowed to do anything Christmas related until December or after Thanksgiving, because, that's only correct, fair. Apparently. Yeah, him. But I don't need this. I do see what they did there to get John G's money. slightly reworking the track listings, of course, is going to make a lot of people buy it. Does anyone actually have the original ones of these? And do you actually need a second one? I guess that's the question.
Well, in Billy's defense, it was only on CD before, and now it's on vinyl.
Oh, so this is the first press of it on wax. Got it. Okay, fine. because I was on board of, you know, I don't need this. Why are you jamming up my pressing plans? Because I really, really want my Newfound Glory Christmas sooner than later, right? Yes, I did pre-order that. I'm really, really sad. But anyways, but yeah, no, I guess fine. If it, this is the first time it's like pressed on vinyl, fine. I guess John G's money is going to good use.
Em, did you have thoughts on this?
I don't really like Christmas albums.
But what did you think of Billy Idol's Plastic Surgery?
Well, we were talking about horror movies last week. Exactly. So, like, he fits right in. But, like, the Jingle Bell Rock's not bad. You know, like, he's doing things that make people happy. And that, at the end of the day, that's all that matters. So that's where I stand.
I thought you said you were going to be an ass on this episode.
That was.
So if he did a Halloween album, would you be into that?
If he did Rocky Horror Picture Show, would you be into that?
Yes. In a heartbeat. Like, that would be really cool. Like, I like soundtracks. I like when bands do that and like cover songs from soundtracks. I really want a Sweeney Todd one. Like, I want a bunch of bands to cover the entire Sweeney Todd soundtrack, because that would be amazing.
I like that. Put that together. You have to curate that, Em.
Yes, I need to find good bands. Like, who would like, because it has to be a visual.
Yeah, do it before someone else steals it now.
It's copyrighted. No one touch it.
Yeah. You know what I hate is when they put the fake ring wear on a new record. See, I know you hate that.
Yes, I hate it so much.
Like, thank you.
Like, I don't like ring wear. I hate it. I like things pristine. That's just me and my OCD-ness, right? But if you're purposely press, like, printing an album with fake ring wear, it drives me nuts. Like, I love going crate digging and then finding an old album, like, you know, and then if there's ring wear on it, okay, I can deal with that. Like, you know, it's natural. This is not natural.
Thank you. Well said. Sam is right yet again. Listen, here's another cool thing. Marissa Paternoster has put out a new track. It's called I Lost You. It's coming out. There's a video, too, which is coming out on her first solo album called Peace Meter, which is out December 3 via Don Giovanni. And it's her first solo album, but really it's not a solo album. And also it's not her first solo album because she's done solo projects as Noun, which is basically her. There's like four Noun albums and they're all great, especially Throw Your Body on the Gears. But this isn't even really a solo thing because it's her. It's Snake Skin. And also the drummer from Sleater-Kinney, Angie Bolin. This track is interesting because I don't know if it's a first for Marissa, but it's sort of like a dance track. And let me tell you, people, Marissa is awesome. I feel like this is like Marissa's like Stevie Nicks go solo moment. Like when Stevie Nicks didn't leave Fleetwood Mac, but did her first couple solo records. And there's like dance music, sort of, you know, Stand Back, Edge of 17, You Can Talk to Me, or the remix of Dreams. Like, it really launched Stevie to the next stratosphere. I think Marissa, ironically, as an amazing guitar player as she is, it might be the dance remix, the dance mixes, the dance style that really, really is her next great moment. I'm excited for this. I've pre-ordered the album. I am psyched. I think this is cool. What do you guys think? Hallie.
I loved it. I, like, loved it. It's, like, so good. It's, like, new wavy. It's so unexpected from her, but she completely pulls it off. For her to just head in this totally different direction and then just, like, do it with, like, just to do it so well. I thought it was awesome. It almost had, like, to me, like a Kate Bush kind of a feel to it. Like a really, like, an 80s new wavy, but like, but her vocals sound so sick and like beautiful harmonies. I was super into this. I thought the video was cool. It just kind of embraced that it's like, you know, got kind of like a more of an electronic-y, like, new wave vibe. I was super into this. Sam and Em, did you like this?
Oh, I love this. Oh, yeah. My God. Like, I didn't expect this from her. And I'm so happy that this was released because I'm literally going to, like, pre-order this, like, as soon as possible. I really, like, yes, like, it is so new wavy. It's so, like, dancey. Like, I could totally see myself in the kitchen cooking, dancing to this. Like, you know, yes, this is a thing I do. The video is actually really cool. It kind of reminded me of, like, you know, like, when you have, like, those big boxy televisions and it breaks. Like, it kind of had that, like, weird, like, you know, it's broken type of thing going on. And I really, really enjoyed it. Even though, yes, it's, you know, some, like, weird visual thing. I'm about this. Em, what do you think?
Oh my gosh, it was so good. It was not what I was expecting. I thought it was going to be like the previous single. Like, I thought it was going to be like, you know, White Dove and kind of like slower and stuff. And this was just amazing. Yeah, like, it's dancey. It's really, really, really good. And it suits her voice really well. Like, that was the other thing. Like, she sounds amazing. So I'm getting pretty pumped for this album.
Well, they have it. Four thumbs up. Everybody loves the new track. Here's something else that's unexpected. There's a show called The Masked Singer, and on the show, celebrities wear these complex and ornate costumes, and they sing songs, and they get voted off by other celebrities, and then Nick Cannon, like, runs up and says, "Who are you?" And then they take off their mask. And then recently, The Jester was voted off, and who was The Jester? Why, it was John Lydon, a.k.a. Johnny Rotten of the Sex Pistols, and he did Man of Constant Sorrow. I think it was a Man of Constant Sorrow. Yeah, Man of Constant Sorrow, yeah. The traditional song, and a version of Alice Cooper's School's Out. I'm going to go first because I had a lot – like, it really bummed me out when Lydon went, like, full-on Trump, and he was wearing Trump shirts.
Yeah.
And everyone's so awful. It's like – I was like, "Are you, like, being funny or ironic?" And he's like, "No, I'm being serious." And I'm like, and we're like, "Ah, oh," you know, it's like, I was so pro Johnny. I was willing to fight anybody over, like, "You don't get it, man. Like, he's John Lydon. He's the whirlwind of destruction. He's the chaos. You don't, you know, he's smarter than you. You don't get it, you know." And like, I remember when, like, he went on that, like, John Varvatos thing, just for some reason, just annihilated Marky Ramone. And he wasn't even that sharp. He wasn't as sharp as he can be. He was kind of, you know, but he just destroyed this thing. And I'm like, "Yes, John Lydon, you're the greatest," you know. And then he came out as full on Trump, and it was a bummer. And then he comes and does this. I can't hate John. I can't even dislike John. I like John. I don't like that he's pro Trump. I'm very against that. But, you know, I mean, that's a huge bummer. But, like, he's taking care of his mom, not his mom, his wife with Alzheimer's. He's taking care of his brothers with the dementia. And then he just goes on these things. And if it was anybody else, it would seem like a total sellout, make me popular. But he's just such a chaos imp, you know. And, like, he did Man of Constant Sorrow, and it was, like, so bad, but it was kind of bad on purpose. And I can't tell if he's making fun of, like, Americana or if he loves it, but he's just being, like, so unprofessional because everyone else is so slick. And then he just schools out and sounds fantastic. And I didn't even, like, the arrangement was very American Idol-ish. And I'm like, I kind of really just want to hear John Lydon do a straight-up, like, cover of School's Out, or maybe even something off, like, Killer, like Dead Babies or Halo of Flies, you know. But I'm like, this is so cool, John Lydon covering Alice Cooper, because famously John Lydon lip-synced Alice Cooper's I'm 18 to get into the Sex Pistols. So I'm really big twixt and in-between. I'm really bummed out that he was pro-Trump. That's indefensible, particularly since he's got grandkids that are – biracial, and you know, that was just a step too far. But that being said, man, it's like, yeah, he said some whacked out stuff, but he's taking care of his wife, he's taking care of his brother, and he's just so unpredictable. And sometimes when you get the madness that is someone like John Lydon, sometimes they say stuff that's not cool. But without that madness that does cross the line, then maybe that magic isn't there. So maybe I'm being hypocritical, but I'm not going to fight on behalf of John Lydon like I used to, But I still like him. I'm still a fan. I'm bummed out about the Trump thing. But, man, like when Lydon is – and that's what kind of makes it even sadder. When Lydon is on the mark, it's like, oh, my God, you're the greatest. You know, just I just wish you didn't taint yourself with that one thing, you know. And more, you had a lot of feelings about his pain.
Oh, I did. Oh, boy, they are – there is a large cod piece for those who don't know. And – no. It's toned down because originally it was a metallic cod piece that was covered up. And this is a quote from an interview he did with Billboard. It was covered up because the powers that be were very nervous about it and thought that if this is a children's program, it might be found offensive. My problem with that is my cod piece was highly mirrored. So the only thing you could see in it would be your own face. So, you know, that's just great. the costume is, it's really, like, freaky. You know, it's like a clown face and, like, a really big mouth. And in the mouth, there's the swirly thing for, like, hypnotism. I don't remember what it's called. And, you know, there's, like, clues in the costume, like it's red plaid and he has a spiked choker and all that kind of stuff. The MAGA thing really, really bummed me out because he meant so much to me. And then when that came out, it was just like, oh my God. And you know, you have that moment of like, ah, fuck you, you're dead to me, you know. But then it's with somebody like that, you can't do that completely because they were such a part of your life and they still are such a part of your life, however, you know, however you slice it. So like if that could be erased from, you know, like he never did that, that'd be a-okay. But he did do that, so that's kind of the thing. I think it's nice that he did this for his wife, because again, from the same interview, said, it meant my lovely wife who is suffering from Alzheimer's might get a great sense of fun out of it if she managed to guess who it was. We've lived together for 47 years, Nora and I, so she must have some clues as to who I am and what I can get up to. I think she did guess. They made me a lovely pair of jester gloves, and Nora had them on when I talked to her on FaceTime. So, like, that's nice, and he's taking care of her, and you know, like the love is still there. And you know, I think that's the thing, is he's a person and people are complicated, people are complex, but like at the end of the day, like he is caring for a loved one, you know, so he's not 100% a monster, you know. It's a soup of confusion. That's what it is. Those are my thoughts.
So does anyone here actually watch Masked Singer on a normal?
No.
Okay. So this household has a group chat with other family members, and we've been watching Masked Singer since season one. And
amazing.
We are... let's just say very competitive about figuring these people out. And when this came out, Chris and I was sitting on the couch screaming at the TV because we could not figure out this creepy weirdo on our television. So now since we know, it makes complete sense because one, in my personal opinion, he did not sound good on Masked Singer. two, the costume makes complete sense. His character, it encapsulated his character normally so well that all of the pieces started clicking and I was like, oh my God, why didn't I get this before? But really none of my family members figured out it was him. And we all were like, flipping out on text about this. Yes, it is very, very creepy. I did not like this character at all.
And I do like the fact that he did this not for himself, even though I'm sure he definitely seemed like a candidate of one of the people that would totally do something like this. He did this for his wife, and I'm all for that. The costume is, like, if you ever decide to pick up on watching Masked Singer, the costume design is so good. Like, so, so good. Even down to, like, if you watch this compared to the Korean version of it, because I was watching a lot of the Korean version when I was in Japan. Yes, there is a Korean version. it's just, like, insane. Yes, I am a fan of Masked Singer. I'm sorry, the world, that you have to hear me talk about this. But yes, this is beyond weird that my two worlds collided, like, right now.
Sam, do you think the celebrities on it, and like they'll have like celebrities reaction shot? I think like Katy Perry's on it, and she's like, oh, I can't believe. Do they even really know who John Lydon is? Do you think, like, he's huge to us, but like, does society know who John Lydon is? Does Katy Perry know who he is?
It's not Katy Perry. It's Jenny McCartney.
Oh, close enough.
Yeah, I do think that they do know. Like, it's actually surprising the people that they guess every week. Like they do a very, very good job at giving you clues. And, you know, the first season, I think we were on fire. Me and my husband was on fire figuring it out, because I literally got, like, Robot Rabbit, and I was, like, super thrilled about it. I won't give it away for anyone that cares. I also got Poodle. But, like, as the season's gone on, it's gotten more and more obscure. And they have thrown out, like, really wild names before, like, but no one got this one, I don't think. Yeah, no, I don't think anyone got this one, because I think this was really out of, like, left field. Because he's, you know, he's a punk, you know. I personally was thinking, like, it was some, like, English dude in, like, some really popular band, you know, that was in this. But I was like, but the character doesn't make sense. This makes sense.
I don't know. I think, like, I think I know. I don't watch this show. I think I could probably find it super entertaining. It's, like, in theory, the kind of thing that I could, like, get a real kick out of. I'm not, like, I don't need everything that I do to be, like, super, like, cool or edgy. Like, I can just get into, like, a funny show where you have to guess a singer in a weird costume. Like, I'm into that. But, like, as far as, like, the John Lydon thing goes, like, I guess if we're just talking about a guy that needs money because he has to, like, help ill family members, that's a totally separate thing. I have no problem with that. But, like, as John Lydon, like, as Johnny Rotten, the singer of the Sex Pistols, like, who, first of all, like, you know, wrote his autobiography is subtitled, what is it? It's like, No Irish, No Blacks, No Dogs. Like,
yeah.
The ideas that he promoted and built his entire career off of, he just completely fucking shat upon when he became a Trumper. So the guy, that person is essentially dead to me. And then him in this, like, I don't know, this, like, cheesy costume with this stupid choreography going on behind him, and he can't sing for shit. He sounds terrible.
No, terrible.
The whole, I was like, this sucks. Fuck this guy. So sorry. I was like, this is bullshit. Fuck this guy. I'm glad you guys say he's a decent person and family member, but, like, Johnny Rotten of the Sex Pistols, fuck that guy. That guy is dead to me.
Well, there you go. Strong feelings, and that's what the show's all about. Here's something else the heavy hits on the show tonight. Listen, fair enough. Listen, Froggy, they're playing the punk music. Summer 45.
I never go off like that. Did I just, like, totally? That just totally, like.
No. I'm all for the rage of Hallie Bullet. Hallie Bullet is usually, I mean, the cool thing about Hallie Bullet is usually straight up and honest. She'll say she doesn't like something, but she won't go in for the mega kill. And tonight she's gone in for the mega kill, and I'm all about it. You know what I mean? So, And listen, actually, I'm going off on a tangent here, and I think everyone will agree with me, because everyone always does. Over the past, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, I've been getting more and more and more annoyed by people that don't have any convictions. They're just eels that will bend to whatever circumstance there is. And that annoys me so much. So I respect you, Hallie Bullet, for having your convictions and sticking them to them and setting John Lydon on fire because you feel that's the right thing to do. I respect that. I admire that. And I salute that.
Thank you, John. I'm no eel.
The question is, are you a frog? Because Froggy is playing the Punk News Summer Tour 85, a.k.a. The New
Year. Oh, Festival. Hold on. Are we just going to let that transition go?
Yep.
You like my transition? You thought that was a bad transition?
No, I thought it was like pretty amazing, actually. Okay, continue.
Well, listen, we're talking about amphibians here as opposed to fish. And Froggy, it's a Philadelphia band. They're all pretty young. They're playing the Punk News New Year's Eve Mega Bash with Colleen Green, celebrating her new album, with the Joe Jack Talcum Band, three-piece electric band, doing the Dead Milkmen hits, solo cuts, and rarities, and with Crazy in the Brains, celebrating their new compilation, their new 7-inch, as well as their fantastic new video, Froggy's Playing It. Well, they just recently appeared on 93.3 WMMR in Philadelphia, one of the two remaining rock stations, along with 102.9. Sadly, 94.1 YSP became a sports station like 5 or 6 years ago. So there's only two rock stations really left in Philadelphia, aside from the excellent college station, which actually is pretty good. Anyway, Froggy appeared on 93.3, the Preston and Steve show. And if you're from Philadelphia, you know, the Preston and Steve show is like the big morning radio host guys. And they did they wrote a song called Preston and Steve, and the lyrics are, I want to be the connoisseur, bizarre files got me all the lore, no school for me, mom, I don't want to go, I just want to listen to the radio, Preston and Steve, WMMR 93.3. And I just thought the song was it's a very simple song, but I'm like, that's it's kind of almost Ramonesy in that it's like so simple, it's perfect, you know, 93, Preston and Steve, WMMR 93.3, it like rhymes perfectly, and it's just great. And I'm so excited to have this band play the show, and I'm excited that they're getting some notice, although I will say, not to be a negative Nancy, sometimes like mainstream notice too early can not be a bonus. It can kind of hurt you, you know, especially with punk bands. It's kind of better to come up with the inside buzz. That being said, they're very young. They've got a lot of years in front of them. I really think that either in this band or the next thing they do, I think this band is so punk and so cool. And I'm really excited to have them play the New Year's Eve Mega Bash. And I will say, on an earlier podcast, I was like, man, I'm so impressed by how mature and thoughtful and articulate the young people are. And and I went to GWAR with my cousin's husband, who's basically my cousin, right? And their son. And he's 15, and he's a very smart kid, a very nice kid. But he did not have the level of maturity that these young ladies have. And they're 17 and 18, which there's a big difference between 15 and 17 and 15 and 18. But that being said, I guess you don't realize this in high school, but even though people are the same age, the levels of maturity, both mentally, physically, it's all over the map. You know what I mean? I think. Yeah. Right. I mean, and so I spoke to these young ladies and their dad and stuff to get them on the show. I'm like, and I've seen them live. I'm like, I can't believe, like, I'm like, they're doing fully formed art and they're only 18. They're so much more mature and have a complete artistic vision. And then I was hanging out with another 15-year-old, you know, my cousin's son. it was a different story, you know. So I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, are you asking them to make us a jingle? That has to happen now, right?
Well, you know, that's a good. That's a good point. That'd be cool, but I don't necessarily want to tie them to Punk News, because Punk News does have a certain shroud around it, you know, and it can be good, it can be bad, you know, and I like listen, they're young, they're doing their thing. Let them grow on their own. That's my perspective. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, they are playing. Show. Yeah, they are playing your show.
That's true. Well, I will have right the Punk News jingle then. That's fine. Like, well, see, I'm always worried about asking. Like, I hate moochers and I hate people that ask too much. I don't want to ask too much. You know what I mean. And plus, they're only 18. They're pretty young. You know what I mean. So I don't know. 18's pretty young. I think.
18 is young.
Yeah,
I can verify that.
Yeah, 18's a long time ago.
So I don't know. I just think they're very cool young ladies, and I think they should probably grow into what they're going to grow into without outside influence. But maybe that's the wrong perspective. I don't know. Hallie, what do you think?
I think that's thoughtful of you. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what I think about that, but I thought this thing was that they did was cool. I think they're cool. I'm super excited to see what else this band does. It is cool that they're young. I just feel like there's like a ton of potential there, you know?
Right. That's why it's not totally there yet, but you can see there's like the spark is there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, listen, is Sam or Em, do you guys got any comment, or should we hit our last story?
I love the singer's voice and their energy, and everything about it is really good. I am firmly on the Froggy lily pad, and I look forward to them going to larger ponds.
This show has had such an amphibian through line.
We're all going to turn into frogs after this.
Yes.
Let's talk about one last story, and then we'll let everyone go. This is Scowl. Scowl is the hardcore band du jour. They are the band causing the buzz, and there's good reason. They've got a very cool album coming out. The album is called How Flowers Grow. It's out next Friday on Flat Spot Records. They released a video called Seeds to Grow, which actually is almost more like alt rock or indie rock or however or Pixies rock, as opposed to hardcore. It's kind of the diversion on the album. I actually just interviewed the lead singer, Kat Moss, not Kate Moss, but Kat Moss. So check that out as a bonus podcast episode. I dig awesome. This song. I dug the video. And more, what do you think?
I love this. I love Scowl, and I'm so excited for the new album. I can't wait. I think it's going to be really good. Yeah, this song's it's a lot calmer, and it really showcases like Kat Moss's clean vocals, and they sound like just superb, like really good. So like that's kind of what I'm wondering with, because when you listen to a hardcore album, like it's really good, but sometimes it can be too much. So like it seems like this is going to be kind of like a palate cleanser, and it's going to tie everything together. So it kind of makes me wonder if there's going to be more songs kind of in this vein to balance everything out, or complement more of the like the real rippers. So I really enjoyed this. I'm really looking forward to the album, and the guy playing the saxophone's just the best.
So, the saxophone's so cool, right? Like the saxophone, when it comes in, like it almost sounds like a keyboard part. I don't know like if they're running it through some kind of, like they've put some effect on it, but it's like really an interesting choice, right? And yeah, I don't know. I don't know much about Scowl. This really made me want to check out their other stuff. Although you guys are saying this is sort of different from what they normally do. Yeah.
This one song is different than what they usually do. They usually do kind of ceremony influence hardcore. They're definitely a Santa Cruz hardcore style band.
Yeah. That's so interesting. Cause right. This isn't hardcore at all. You're right. It's like got like, I wasn't even sure like what to compare this to. But I really enjoyed it, and I really liked the saxophone. The video I thought was cool. I mean, right, we should maybe explain the video, right? It's like the singer gets into a truck with the rest of the band, and then they're basically driving for the majority of the video, and then there's someone on a motorcycle who hands her flowers, and then they all kind of, then the road is blocked and they all stop, and that's the end. We should also mention that this song is short. Like Paris has something to learn from this band. This song is very intriguingly like hit it and quit it, right? It just like gets you, it grabs you, and it's fucking done before you even have a chance to be like, well, you know, it's really, really cool. But like, I feel like you sometimes like have a really cool take on like the meaning of videos, and I'm wondering if you had any thoughts on this, because I was like, I thought that was interesting, but I didn't really know exactly what they were getting at.
Well, just like that
on the spot.
I'm just trying to think of the video. So, like, they all get in the... a truck. Right,
like a Jeepy truck, yeah.
There's the guy who gets on the motorcycle and he has a bouquet of flowers. And, like, in the car, like, there's someone driving. The person in the passenger seat's playing, has, like, drumsticks and is drumming on the dashboard. The saxophone guy is sitting there saxophoning.
Oh, right, he's in the back seat.
Yeah.
Great verb.
Yeah. And the singer's kind of, like, looking out the window. And, like, there's little animations throughout, too. So, like, when she looks out the window at the first little bit, there's this really cool-looking animated bee.
Yeah.
Like, I thought, oh, like, she's looking for someone. And it's kind of like a contemplative song, you know, like, with the lyrics and with certain things. So, like, there's a lot you can read into it. So, like, she's looking for someone or she's waiting for something. And when the guy, the motorcycle man, comes up and passes through the flowers and she takes the flowers. And on the flowers, there's an animated flower, too.
Yeah, so, the animation mixed in with, like, the live action stuff was cool, right?
It was really neat. It was a really cool blend of everything. And then at the end, they get to, like, a dead end street and, you know, they're going to have to turn around. And at that point, like, the where flowers grow comes out and then the, like, a flower kind of blooms from the concrete.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll have cool. to think more about it. But no, I like the video. The video is cool.
Nice. John, did you John, you didn't tell us what you thought of this yet, did you?
I dig it. I think this band is awesome. I think the record is going to be one of the hardcore records of the year. I dig the diversion. I think a lot of bands could take notice from this band in that this band had a fair amount of hype from the demo. Many bands, a lot in the Philadelphia region, but many maximum rock and roll style bands. There's so much hype on the demo, and they put out the album, and the album is just the demo again. The trick is, and this, like, never fails. You have to do the demo plus more stuff. You see, like you can't just do the same thing over and over. I've seen so many cool bands. I guess they get nervous, or they're like, "Oh, we gotta do the same thing everyone loves." It's the misstep, and the energy, you know, fades away immediately. Whereas you got just a little bit of extra new stuff, and it's got to be good, which I realize is a tall order. But that's how you transfer the hype from a demo to an actual release. And that's kind of – look at Aim on the Sniffers, the best example. Oh, like Aim on the Sniffers, the first demo was kind of a, you know, sloppy punk thing. The second one, the songs were tighter, kind of like first wave punk. Then the single was jacked up. Then the album was like a hardcore record. And then the second album is kind of hardcore mixed with post-punk. On a side note, getting off track, I've heard Surfboard's second album, which didn't get a whole lot of press release. People, check out Surfboard's second album. It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sammy B, any closing words on Scowl?
I really like this. I really love the contrast of this song versus they previously released Bloodhound, which was, like, really, like, you know, hardcore and gnarly and raw. I really love the fact that they, you know, the album's called How Flowers Grow, and, you know, there's just a common theme of flowers and everything. Like, you know, there was flowers in the other music video and in this one. It almost seems like, you know, like, potentially maybe if there's a third single, it could probably pick off from just the truck stopping, you know. I feel like the song is either an intro to, like, a side, one of the side of the records. That's just how I feel about that. I dig this. I'm stoked to see what happens with this band.
Well, there you have it. Everyone digs it. Let's play some Scat. No, we're not going to play Scat. You got to spend a bonus episode to hear that. Instead, we're going to play Billy Idol Sings Christmas Tunes. Here we go. Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing up bushels of fun.
Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells chime in jingle bell time. Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square in the frosty air. What a bright time, it's the right time to rock the night away. Jingle bell time is a swell time to go gliding in a one-horse sleigh. Giddy up, jingle horse, pick up your feet. Jingle around the clock. Mixing and mingle in the jingling fee. That's the jingle bell rock. In a one-horse sleigh, yeah. All right. Giddy up, jingle horse, pick up your feet. Jingle around the clock. Mix and a mingle in the jingling fee. That's the jingle bell, that's the jingle bell, that's the jingle bell rock. That's the jingle bell rock.
And we're back. I'm actually going to play another song at the end because, anyway, I hope you enjoyed Billy Idol's Christmas. Hallie, will any final words on this mega episode? But sometimes you got to go mega. Sometimes you got to go MAGA. Sometimes you got to go
MAGA. Oh, no.
No, I mean, no, just to say there's just a lot of good music we got to talk about. It made me really happy to listen to a lot of this stuff this week. So, yeah.
Nine minutes of aggros. Interesting.
Well, you know, that wasn't my favorite, but there was like a lot of stuff that I really liked, stuff that I'll like really, truly like that will go into a constant rotation for me now. So, you know, thanks to you guys for like always giving me great stuff to listen to, you know?
And more. Any closing statements?
Last week, there was, when we were talking about horror movies, there was one that I meant to mention and I completely forgot because it's punk. It's like punk adjacent, and it's called Green Room. So it's this group of punks who like go and they get booked at a neo-Nazi bar by accident or on purpose. It's really suspenseful. It's really good, and they do a version of Nazi punks fuck off, and it's really, really good. So anyway, that was that. Ribbit ribbit, frogs.
I heard that movie was great. I've meant to check that one out. And now then there's the other one. What's the one with the band that ends up on tour with the demon? Oh, Uncle Peckerhead. Have you guys watched that one?
No.
Oh, you have to watch Uncle Peckerhead. It's totally amazing. It's a band that ends up with a demon for a roadie. It's like a fantastic.
Oh my god.
There is a slight connection between Hallie Bullitt and the Green Room. Hallie Bullitt, do you know that connection?
What's my connection? No.
Starring Patrick Stewart, Jean-Luc Picard of the Star Trek Enterprise.
Oh, you're silly.
Sammy B, any closing words on today's Ultra episode?
This week has been exhausting. This episode is exhausting. I hope I'm going to go hibernate for a little bit. I hope you guys all survive this. Yeah, see you later.
And we'll see you next week, and we'll be back stronger and fiercer than ever. Podcast at punknews.org. And this is Marissa Paternoster. We'll see you next week.
Oh, hang on, it's painful. Disconnect the line. She thinks I'm uncertain, but I think it's fine. I guess it's sad. You don't care, and I lost you. guess it's sad.